In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. This little sermon today is going to take two parts. First of all, I'm going to share something. And then I'm going to ask somebody to give a short testimony about God's own dealing with them and how he's worked in their life. The word epiphany means manifestation, light bulb moment, if you like, when we came alive to God. And so later on, I've asked Sue Broach, who's been a long-standing member here at St. Andrews, to share a bit about her story. But as a rider first, let me just talk about some additional things. Not to depress you, but it's worth thinking about, particularly because later we're going to renew our baptism vows. This is real. If you were to die tonight, people do die. All of us will die. I'm ministering at the moment to a dear family, part of the congregation here, whose husband died suddenly on a Saturday night a week ago, totally unexpected. We pray for them today. But if you were to die tonight, what would you say to God in order for him to welcome you into his heaven? It's real. I'll ask you again. I want you to think about it. If you were to die tonight, and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to him? You might say, I've lived a good life. Most atheists live a good life. You might say, I've tried my best. Most pagans, people of other faiths, Muslim non-believers, whatever, have tried their best. You might say, I tried to do what was right. You see, none of these are things that are criteria that Christianity really value for salvation. For Christianity is not primarily about becoming a good person or doing the right thing, or saying I've done my best. By the way, I think most of us would say that. If I took an anonymous indication this morning and asked you to write it down, you'd pray something like that. Hear this. To be a Christian is to be grafted into Christ. Our good works, our behaviour, although important, our trying is not enough. Because his standard is perfection. To be a Christian is to be grafted, to be in Christ. And the way that we are in Christ is by repenting of our sin and being buried with him in baptism. That's how we are Christian. Baptism, as it says in the creed later, we will confess it, for the forgiveness of sins. So here's the answer. Why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I let you into my heaven? Here's the answer. I turned to Christ. I turned to Christ. And so I am in Christ by faith because of my baptism. It's the reason, by the way, when we have funerals here, we bless people with holy oil as they're just about to come into the service before we bring the casket in. Because we are reminding people that they are in Christ because of their baptism. That's what saves us. Our faith in Christ, through of our baptism by the power of the Spirit. That's why your baptism is so important. You turn to Christ in your baptism. It's the reason why most Roman Catholic churches will have water at the entrance of the church as you go in. It's got nothing to do with sort of like blessing as a sort of a token of, I don't know, superstition. Some people maybe. Or because a good luck charm, cross my fingers. No, it's got nothing to do with that. It's because as we come, we are reminding ourselves that we are washed by Christ through our baptism. And he allows us into his kingdom. And by the way, we become part of the body of Christ through our baptism. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Mystical body of Christ through his baptism. That's what saves you. So that's what you need to trust. If any of you today are thinking, I'll do my best, I'll live a good life, I'll try hard, most of the world think that, but that's not what saves you. What saves you is the grace of God that comes to you as a free gift through your baptism. It's a bit like opening a door. In fact, baptism historically was always seen as opening a door that you walk into. And you receive the gift of eternal life. There's a wonderful old hymn. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's what saves us. So, what will save you in the end? You write down, I'll try my best, vicar. I'll work hard. I'll be the best person I can. I'll be of good character. No, none of that saves you. Most people are hanging on to that. Humanists, wonderfully good people, some far better than most of us here, many of them. But what saves you is the fact that you trust in your baptism, that your baptism you turn to Christ, and therefore you are in Christ. And all your past, all your present, and all your future sin is forgiven through your baptism. It was all buried. And when we come, we ask for forgiveness every Sunday, and hopefully we will go from here changed. What we're doing is reappropriating what was given to us at our baptism when we were cleansed. A wonderful symbol of that is when we come to receive Holy Communion, we don't have things in our hands to give to God, prizes, money, whatever, we just came empty-handed. Because it's a gift. So your culture won't save you. Your family won't save you. Your education won't save you. Your behaviors, living a good life, will not save you. The only thing that will save you is the fact that you turn to Christ at your baptism. And that's why we will renew this later. It's so wonderfully powerful. And if you can live in this, you live in freedom. Epiphany, last Sunday. Jesus is for all people. Epiphany 1. That's a bit of a shock, you know, because we live in a world where there's us and them. And Jesus says everybody's included. Wow. Everybody's part of this story. The world isn't like that. In the world, there are huge inequalities that all of us face. But Jesus says everybody's included. Epiphany 1. Epiphany 2. You can be included too, just by coming and being washed and cleansed through your baptism and saying, I turn to Christ. That's what saves us. Trust in him. That's what saves us. I turn to Christ. And in one sense, the whole of our life, the whole of our life is a constant turning back to our baptism. Coming back to all the baptism all the time. Adopted into his family, children of God, all of our life. Do you know, I think even though I tell you today that your good works will not save you, the things that you do, your behaviours, even so, people will walk out of here and think it will be. No. The only thing that will save you is by turning to Christ in your baptism and being empowered by the Spirit. That's what saves you. Epiphany is about coming alive to God for real. So I'm going to ask Sue now to come and tell a little bit about her story here. She's been here a wonderfully long time, served the church here marvellously along with her husband John. So Sue, come and tell us briefly, if that's all right, about your personal epiphany and how you turned to Christ.
This is a new one for me. I was born and brought up in Bedford, which is just 50 miles away from here. And one of my earliest memories is going to church with my dad. I was four, and I can remember walking up from our house across the village green, up the hill to the church and to matins, which we don't hear about much these days. It's morning prayer, and it's called matins. And I can remember that quite clearly. I can remember the seat that we sat in and all that sort of thing. So I was very young when I first experienced church, and I basically grew up going to church with him and my sisters and mother. And I went to church till I was 18, and I left then to come to London to start my nursing career. Well, central London, as we all know, has a lot of attractions. And although I started off by going to All Souls Langham Place now and again, that soon faded into the background because other things took precedence. And I stopped going to church for quite a number of years. I met John when I was 24, and I married him when I was 28. And a few years after that, his brother-in-law, at the age of 34, collapsed with a massive heart attack and died. And it absolutely shook our world, especially it was as John was very close to him. A few months later, he suddenly said to me, I want to go to church, which, as very few of you knew him, certainly not then, you don't know what a monumental statement that actually was. But it allowed me to return to church, because I had been slowly being drawn back in, and I wanted to come, but I didn't feel I could. So through him saying that, it allowed me to come back. And John talked to John Nicolay about it, because they knew each other through another channel. And John said to my John, well, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? And he did. I couldn't because I was working, but I came the next week, and the first time I walked through this door, I felt as though I'd come home. And I've not left it since. And don't intend to either. because it is very special to me, this place. However, the first few weeks, although it was exciting and fulfilling in some ways, I quickly realized that I was not fully a Christian, that just walking through the door didn't make me a Christian. And the vicar at the time was called Mike Pratt, and he was quite a charismatic in many different ways chap. But I can remember one day, one Sunday, I sat in these pews here, much where Ollie is now. And he was in the pulpit, and it was Lent, and he was giving a series of sermons on being whole. This particular one was called What is a Healthy Person, to which my ears as a nurse pricked up. And as he talked, I felt he was talking to me and only me. There was nobody else in this building, just us two. And it hit me quite hard. And by the end of the service, I was almost kicking and screaming like a child having a tantrum, coming into the kingdom of God. Nobody, of course, realized this except me. But at the end of the service, I found myself saying, "All right, Lord, I'm giving in. I'm not fighting you anymore. And here I am." And really, from that time onwards, that is what I've done. Though we talk about the gifts of the Spirit being love, joy, and peace, I can say that that joy and that peace has stayed with me for all these years since then. And it underpins everything. And no matter what happens in everyday life, the trials and the tribulations and everything else underneath, I have a deep peace, and long may it continue. So I thank God for all these years that I have been in this church, and all the people that have crossed my path, etc., because every single person matters. And I hope some of what I've said rings true with you as well.
Thank you, Sue. We turn to Christ for the whole of our life, and we turn back to our baptism. So I'm going to ask you to take these little sheets. Inside it says renewal of baptism vows. Can you see that? It's inside the sheet that's got the picture on the front. As you come up for communion later, you might want to bless yourself with holy water as a reminder of your baptism. So, would you please stand? These are wonderfully powerful words. I pray as we do these together that you will actively respond to them in your heart and mind, as Sue did that day with the sermon from Mike Pratt. Renewal of baptism vows. In baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour? Do you turn to Christ as Saviour? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? May God, who has given you the desire to follow Christ, give you the strength to continue in the way. Amen.